You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4.
Unfortunately, fertility treatment is seen as a sort of low-hanging fruit, it seems, by a lot of commissioning groups, and it's something that they can cut without too much of a fuss, because fertility patients, people who need treatment, can be very reluctant to sort of make a big outcry when this happens, because it's a very personal thing for them. They're, you know, trying desperately to have a baby, it's something they're longing to have, and to sort of protest in a sort of meaningful way to stop this is really quite difficult for them because it's so intensely personal and something that is often private between a couple.
Dr. Amanda Doyle, how do you react to that? That this is they're going for a low hanging fruit where people won't complain.
I think clinical commissioners have to make difficult decisions about service provision on a daily basis. So the NHS does not have unlimited resources, unfortunately, and we have to ensure that patients get the best possible care against increasingly squeezed finances. And this is one of the biggest difficulties CCGs are facing, but we have a statutory responsibility to commission cost-effective healthcare for our patients, and what local CCGs are doing are looking at the health needs of their own population and prioritising accordingly.
So do you think it's just a matter of time before other clinical commissioning groups will also restrict IVF?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think what CCGs are doing is looking at the local situation, both the local financial position, but also the health needs for their population, and trying to use their resources to the best effect, balancing demand with supply. And what the local needs will be different in different places.
Yes, I mean, to put it, Sarah Norcross, a GP may be deciding, are we going to spend on this person who has cancer and needs to be kept alive, or are we going to spend on somebody as fertility treatment? I mean, if you were given that choice, it's a difficult one, the priorities have to be made.
Obviously, priorities have to be made, and I fully understand that we're living in, you know, a time of austerity and, you know, a huge difficulties facing the NHS. But the thing is that 20% of commissioning groups are managing to fund this service. And so to sort of lessons could be learnt from those that are managing to do it and are finding cost-effective ways to do it rather than just automatically axing it. Because by removing fertility treatment, you're not removing the problems of people and the difficulties that people can then face, anxiety, stress, and ultimately depression, end up with them going back to their GP to being treated for those things. And in areas like Essex, where they're in close proximity to Stansted and easy flights into Europe, the rest of Europe, then it means that they can go over there and have treatments which are unregulated or not regulated in the same way here, and come back with multiple pregnancies. You don't need many people coming back with a multiple pregnancy for any cost saving by not providing IVF to be wiped out, because neonatal care is extremely expensive.
Dr. Amanda Doyle, on that, will it save much money for GP groups, do you think?
If a specialist fertility treatment is expensive, and as I said, in times of really difficult financial squeeze, CCGs locally have to look at what the priorities are and particularly look at what the health needs of their populations
are. But Sarah Norcross's argument is that actually it may cost more in the long run.
That is difficult to say, isn't it? We don't know that everybody who's unable to access treatment in a particular way will go abroad and have unregulated treatment. So that's not very easy to take into account.
The argument for having different commissioning groups in different areas, part of the argument is you can respond to your local community. And whilst there may be some areas where different treatments are needed, fertility is something one would have thought that was similar across the country. Shouldn't there be some sort of standardised rules on when treatment is offered?
Well, as you say, the benefit of local CCGs led by local clinicians is that they can develop strategic plans for their own community. And these plans need to cover a wide range of healthcare services. And this is based on the health needs of the local population.
Isn't fertility something that across the country one would expect the same, even if it isn't the same demand for the treatment, the same judgment should be made?
But what CCGs are doing are balancing the needs of patients for fertility treatment with the needs of patients for every other sort of treatment, as you mentioned earlier. So in a local population where there are wide health inequalities, where there are greater health needs and demand often outstrips supply, and the financial situation is different in different parts of the country.
And ultimately, Sarah Norcross, that's the point. It's the GP sitting there who knows the whole range of things that he or she is being asked to do that makes the decision on this.
Yes, I appreciate that. And one of the things that Fertility Fairness is hoping to do is to set up, we're planning to set up a round table meeting in the Thames Valley region to get together different clinical commissioning groups with other experts, with people from NHS England, Health Watch, Monitor, etc., etc., to try and develop, you know, solutions and a plan. I mean, one of the...
For
fairness.
Across the country.
Across the country, because in the UK, Scotland, it's centrally commissioned. Wales, it's centrally commissioned. Northern Ireland, it's centrally commissioned. In England, we have 201 bodies making different decisions.
You can listen to more free content from the Today programme by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.